Amen. It's good to see everybody out in the Rock Fellowship today. And boy, I tell you, it's always a pleasure, and it's a special pleasure today to have Miss Betty here with us, and my family. I have my son David and Daniel and their family. It's just a pleasure to be here. Amen. Let's go ahead and let's turn our attention to the Word of God. And anytime we turn our attention to the Word of God, there's one thing that we all must do, and that thing is we must open up our spirit. You can go to church, all church you want to, or go wherever, but if you do not open up your spirit, you will not be able to receive those things that the Spirit of God has for us. Because if we do not get what the Lord has for us by our spirit, then we will never get it. You can't get the things of God with your mind. You can't get the things of God with your learning and the things that you book, you know, you go through. The things of God are spiritual, and we must receive them with our spirit. And if we do not open our spirit, then we will not be able to get that. So what I like to do, I like to tackle a pretty tough subject that's called presumption. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at that a little bit. Amen. Oftentimes we make verses and concepts in the scriptures and we make them out to be that things that God are not interested in being. I mean, we have songs, I've got a mansion just over that hilltop. Well, we're going to go ahead and address that a little bit. And we make all these things we see in the Bible, and we make them into concepts, and we make them into things that God has not intended that to happen. For example, in Mark 9 and 5, this is the Mount of Transfiguration. Well, nowhere in the Bible is the Mount of Transfiguration called the Mount of Transfiguration unless you have it in your Bible and it says that in, you know, this is the verses about the Mount of Transfiguration. That's not what was going on there. That is not a concept. But what is going on there was Peter, he went ahead and he says, oh, let us go ahead and make three altars and let's go ahead and worship. And the thing with presumption is you miss what God is doing. You miss what God is saying because you're focused on something else. And there's all kind of situations like that. Amen. And Mark 9:5 was just one of them. Peter missed the transfiguring of Christ because he was so concerned and he wanted to go ahead and build three altars so that they could worship, and he missed that. Amen. Because of John 14, believe it or not, 14:2, many Christians have built for themselves a mansion with 450, I don't know, maybe 500 rooms, with servants and horses and all of the things that they never got in their life. All the things they never got in their life. You know, and I really believe this, and my sweet, beautiful wife Karen has said this, that many Christians in this life, they're Christians, and if they die, they probably go to heaven, but they hedge their bet. They go, well, now, I kind of believe that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to have this mansion over that hilltop, but I'm not really quite 100% sure about that big place, that mansion, so I'm going to go after what I can get down here on earth. I'm going to go ahead and try to get a big house and get all these cars and get all these big things because I may not be right. So I'm going to hedge my bet. I'm going to go ahead and get all of these big things down here. And then when I go to heaven, well, then I might get that mansion. So, they have done that. But again, the real danger is Christians, They have missed out on what God said, and we're going to look at that in the Bible, and they have missed out, more importantly, what God is doing. And any time that we miss out on what God is saying, or we miss out, especially what God is doing, let me say that again, any time we miss out on what God is doing, then we are over in presumption. Presumption is far greater dangerous to our spiritual life than sin. Presumption is far greater damaging to our spiritual life than sin. Presumption is thinking that you know right, but in reality, you're wrong. And Jesus died for our sin, believe it or not, not for our presumption. You know, it's bad to not know that something is wrong, but it's worse not knowing that you do not know that it's wrong. And that is presumption, amen? Let's go ahead and let's look at John chapter 14. If that's your Bible, you can go ahead and go there. John chapter 14, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. We're not going to read those verses, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to look at this, amen? So verses 14, I'll just go ahead and start with our read verses 1, 2, and 3, amen? So this chapter, John chapter 14, it says, Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. Now notice, most people do not read the second word in verse 3. And if I go away, prepare a place for you, a place. If I go away and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you before myself, that where I am, you, actually the word there, in my Bible is italicized, and that's been added, right? So, where I am, ye may be also. Now, you got to remember, when Jesus is saying this, he's saying this before his crucifixion. Amen? He's saying this before his crucifixion. Wow. Well, that 1:14, as I laid that little foundation, we can see that presumption, that this is presumption, and most Christians miss out on this. I would say that most Christians are in presumption. Most Christians will lead their life in presumption, and unless they allow the Holy Spirit to work in their life, unless they allow the Holy Spirit to open up their understanding, have it be through the Scripture, or allow the Holy Spirit to open up their thoughts, about certain things, then they will lead their life. All their sins may be forgiven. If they die, they go to heaven. Well, that's up to God, not to me. But they will lead their life in presumption. Amen? In verse 2, we find the word mansion. We find the word mansions in the Father's house. Now, in the Greek, that is 36:14. 36:14 in Strong's. But it comes from, this is important, number 36:24. 36:24. And it should have been translated home. Should have been translated home. The scriptures, are infallible, right? Amen? They're inspired, they're infallible. Everybody should go, amen, right there. But the translators are not. The translators are not infallible. The translators, as we saw the word there, they added that one word there, and it kind of doesn't change much, but some words that they've added kind of changes some thoughts there. But the word house here really is home. It's home. And it comes from actually 1722. 1722. And so it should have been translated home. You know, there is a big difference between a house and a home. You know that? There is a huge difference between a house and a home. A house is a building. A house is a building. But a home is a place where people live. Let me say that again. A house is a building. But a home is a place where people live. It is a place where there is relationship. It is a place where there is relationship. So then, mansions only follow suit, to be there is a house. But that is not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was not talking about in the Father's house, should have been home, a building where we can have servants and have our, brownie bush and our M&M fountain, as my sweet and beautiful wife often, talks about. Jesus was not talking about that house. Jesus was talking about a home, a place where people live, and a place of relationship. Amen? Wow. That is a big concept. Amen? Mansions there is 3306. Now that is important, because the word mansions there is not a house. The word mansions there is a place, not a home. Or, I'm sorry, not a house, but it's a place. It's a place where people dwell. It's a place where people remain. It's a place where people can reside. It's not a house. It's not a house. Actually, that word mansions there is one of the few Italian words in the Bible. And it's really pronounced mansioni. It's pronounced mansioni, and it does mean homes, but it means a place to abide or a place to dwell with many rooms. And actually, what Jesus was saying here, he says that he's going to go ahead and prepare a place, not a house, but a place with many rooms where people can dwell. Actually, Jesus is talking more of a hotel. It's more of a hotel. It's a place where people can go ahead and live. So Jesus did not go away to build us a house. No, he didn't. But he went away to make us a home. He went away to make us a place for us to dwell. A place for our residents to dwell. For us to dwell in. A place for us to dwell in. I'm not talking about a house now. I'm talking about something even greater. I find it interesting that Ephesians 2:21-22... Kathleen, you got Ephesians 21?
Yes, I do.
2:21-22?
In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Wow. We are being built. You and me are being built as a dwelling place for God. Not heaven. God doesn't want to dwell in heaven. The Bible there tells us by the Spirit, we are being built. I think that was verse 22. And 21 talked about us being laid as the foundation, that we are being laid stone upon stone and brick upon brick as a dwelling place. Not a house, not a physical place, but we are a dwelling place for God to dwell in for all of eternity. Isn't that amazing? God wants to dwell. Wow, wants to dwell in us. So for those Christians who are looking for a house, they will not be looking for that dwelling place. They will not be looking. They're looking for this mansion over the hilltop. And they're not going to be looking for the place that Jesus is creating, is developed. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Amen. So these Christians will not be looking, they'll be looking for a house, and they will not be looking for the dwelling place that God has prepared for us. Now you need to open up your spirits here and allow the Holy Spirit to go ahead and speak to you. Amen. So right here it says, in my Father's, it says, and if I go away, and if I go away, I will come and get you. Now Jesus did not go away. He says, if I go away. He says, and if I go away, Jesus did not go away as we think. And you know, when I was putting this together, not knowing that Dave and Dan were going to be here, this was a prime opportunity to go ahead and share a quick story. Would you mind, Dave and Dan, if I should share a quick story? So, when you guys were little, huh?
What is it about?
Well, when you guys were little kids.
You asked if I mind.
Okay.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, okay. No, it's not going to be that embarrassing. You were a little kid. So, anyway, I would take you guys to this park. And I would push you on the swings. And there were some swings there. And I'd put David there, and I'd put Daniel there. And there was a tree right here. There was a tree right here, and I would push Dave and I push Daniel, and I push Dave, and I push Daniel, and I'm swinging there, and they're swinging, good, and oh, they was, oh, Dad is so wonderful, and Dad loves us, and oh, Dad is wonderful, and happy, one with the world, and I would jump behind the tree. And then Dad wasn't pushing, and they get slower, and slower, and slower, and all of a sudden, Dave would look over at Dan, and Dan would, Dad, where's Dad? Dad don't love us, Dad. Dad, you left us, Dad. Did I leave him? No, I didn't leave him. I was behind the tree. They just couldn't see me. But I didn't leave him. And I jumped out behind the tree. Dad, Dan, oh, Dad, oh. And I'd start pushing him again. Well, doesn't that sound familiar in God? When we can't see him and he's pushing us, everything is wonderful. And, oh, it's just great. I'm being swung. Yeah. But when he kind of steps behind the tree and we can't see him and the swing starts slowing down, oh, God don't love me. And, wham, let me eat worms. Amen. So Jesus didn't leave these people. Jesus didn't leave the disciples here. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, did he lie to us? No, he didn't lie to us. He didn't leave us. He never left us. But notice verse 3 there. It says, I will come again. I will come again. Right? And receive you. And so that where I am, you shall be also. Well, wait a minute. He left them. Because right here it says, I will come again. Well, now, he didn't leave us. We just couldn't see him. Of course, he was talking about his death. He was talking about dying on the cross. But he never left them, even in his death. Even in the death of Christ, he never left us. He was still here. And of course, ascending and descending, some people say he went into hell and he preached, you know, but his spirit, I believe, was still with us. Amen? Yeah. So then, if Jesus goes away, then where is he? As I said, well, some say that he went down into, you know, he went down into hell and he preached because all of the saints, all of the people that were in paradise had to hear the message so that they can be taken to heaven. And so that's a lot of people believe that 3 days he was in the tomb, he was there. And I can kind of buy into that. But you know, I also know that he never left us. And even today, he never left us. And even when he, in the book of Acts, when he was taken up into space, you know, into the heavens, right? The angel said, this same Jesus is going to come back. I'm going to see you. And he told the disciples, he says, well, if I don't go away, then I can't send the Comforter. He didn't leave us. He hasn't left us. He's still, no matter what we face, no matter what the situation in life is, he's still here. Wow. So Jesus, in verse 10 and 11, verse 10 and 11 tells us where Jesus is at these times, right here. Well, he says, believe thou not that I am in the Father? Where is Jesus? He's in the Father. He went away to make a place, a dwelling place, a residence for us. Jesus is in the Father. He's in the Father. Verse 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father. Not once, but twice he tells the disciples where he is. He is in the Father. What most Christians miss out on is the dwelling or the abiding and the rest that we have when we too can come into the Father. Wow. Wow. There is only rest found in the Father. No matter what we experience or taste, bitter or sweet, of this life, the only thing that will satisfy our soul, the only thing that will bring us rest, is being like Jesus in the Father, resting and abiding in the Father. Jesus said in verse 3, I will come and I will get you, so you can be where I am. So when Jesus came back, he, on the death on the cross, he made a place, a dwelling place, in the heart of the Father for us. And we can now go be where he is. We can go be in the Father with him. I will come and get you, and I will take you to the Father's heart, where I dwell. That's where I'm going to come, and I'm going to get you, and I'm going to take you to the Father's heart. Wow. Oh, that's if you want to go. If you want to go to the Father's heart. Or we're let all of these bad experiences and things that we taste as bitter or even sweet. Gotta watch sweet things. We all talk about bitter things destroying us spiritually, but I will tell you, sweet things will destroy you faster in God than a bitter experience. Sweet experiences will destroy you faster than a bitter experience. Take heed to our wonderful sweet experiences that I have. Amen. Jesus says, I will come and get you so that you can be where I am. Where I am. Jesus was not talking about heaven. He was not talking about the resurrection, or what some people call the rapture. But Jesus was talking about dying on the cross so that he can come again. He can come again on that third day to get us, make that possibility, to make that pathway, to make that opportunity because of his death on the cross. Now we have an opportunity, we have a pathway, we have a way now that we can go to the Father's heart. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes unto heaven, goes into a house in heaven, some mansion. No one goes unto the Father except through me. Wow. He made that way so that we can go into the Father's heart. Wow. We enter not by working or even by good works, but by allowing God to work in our lives to conform us into the character and the image of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus made a way for us to go to the Father's heart. And the Father wants us to be worked on so that we too can come into the character and the image and the nature of his Son. So that we'll be right at home. They will be right at home in the Father's heart. In that house. That dwelling place in that house with our brothers and our sisters. Because those that make it to the Father's house will be brothers and sisters. Wow. That's a deep thought. Amen. Why is it important to have God work in our life? Well, we are to become like the Father. We are to become like the Father. Jesus said in 1 Peter 1:16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I'll be honest, I don't understand holiness because I am not, even though I want to be so bad. I don't understand being holy because I'm not. Maybe someday I'll understand, or maybe someone here understands. I don't know. I haven't got a clue. But that's something that God wants us to be, is to be holy, for I am holy. God wants us to become holy so that we can become the expression of the Father to the world. Now let that sink in. We are to be conformed into the character and the image of Jesus Christ, and we are to become holy like God is holy, and that is that process of God's dealing and judgment in our life. That's how we become holy, is by God's dealing and judgments in our life, so that we can be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, so that we can become more like God, so that we can become the express image of God on earth. Can you imagine that? To become the express image of God on earth, that we love like God, that we touch people's hearts like God, that we go ahead and we do those things that we do in our life like God would do that. Well, that will only happen, I promise you, that will only happen when we allow God to work in our life. Becoming holy, being conformed into the character and the nature and the image of Jesus Christ is a very painful process. It's a very painful process because our flesh and our nature wants its way. It screams for liberty and it screams for freedom and it wants what it wants, but that's not the way that God has it set up. We must allow God's dealing and judgments in our life. We must allow God to put, lay an axe at our flesh, give it a death blow so that we can be conformed into the character in the image. And if we can do that, then we'll be able to go to that mansion. That mansion that Jesus has prepared for us. It's not a house. It's not. It's the heart of the Father that He has made a way. And that's where we're all headed to. We're all headed to the house of the Father. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for your word and for your love, Father. Lord, just take our word, Lord, take this word that you gave me, Father, Lord, and just share it, Father, Lord. Multiply it, Father, Lord God. Give it thought, Father, Lord. Give it a rise. Give it a rise in minds and in hearts, Father, Lord God. Lord, let it be like a seed, and Lord, let it sprout and grow, Father, Lord God, that good fruit will grow from it. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.